The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Some would say that free grace proponents have a minimum gospel. Some may even accuse that it is a crossless gospel. What do they mean by this? And what is the necessary bottom-line truth that one must believe to be eternally saved? So glad you've joined us today, friend. This is Grace in Focus, and we will have that discussion in just a moment, but first, Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We do exist to promote a focused free grace presentation of the gospel of eternal salvation. Know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There in our store, you can find Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, today we have a question that's come from our YouTube comments, and thank you for all those who've been watching our YouTube videos and commenting. We appreciate that. So, is the focused free grace position recommending that people only preach the minimum gospel or omit Jesus' cross and resurrection in their gospel presentation?
Yeah, and I think we've posted on YouTube a couple of videos that you did at our conference on focused free grace, right?
Right.
So maybe we could briefly state what is focused free grace as distinct from what you've called flexible free grace.
Yeah, I would say the two pillars of focused free grace are, number one, that faith and believe is simply a persuasion or a conviction of the truth. And second is that the saving message is believe in Jesus for everlasting life. That's a life that can never be lost, eternal destiny with Jesus forever and his people in his kingdom.
So it'd be like believing John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life, or believing John 5:24, that the one who believes in him has everlasting life, will not come into judgment but is passed from death into life.
Right. This is a salvation that can never be lost, and it's received simply by believing Jesus' promise for it.
So some YouTubers, as they've seen your videos, they've said, okay, so are you recommending just preaching the minimum, just preaching that, but without mentioning the deity of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, maybe the virgin birth of Christ, maybe all of his post-resurrection appearances? You know, how much do you recommend giving?
Yeah, I guess those that come from this type of perspective, they sometimes would say, they say, oh, you guys are preaching a crossless gospel. You leave out the cross.
Now, when you say this kind of perspective, you mean maybe a flexible free grace.
Yes, you believe Jesus died on the cross and you get everlasting life. Or, you know, they have a complaint that you don't feel that the cross is, the person has to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Or you don't have to believe that Jesus is God to get everlasting life.
Okay, so maybe before we answer that, what is the flexible free grace position?
The flexible free grace position, it's either, they would say, look, faith might include an element of the will. It includes a decision or an act of the will, and also that they drop everlasting life as part of what you need to believe in Jesus for. You can just believe some other truth about Jesus and not have any knowledge about everlasting life, eternal security, and you get everlasting life as an unknown result.
So faith might be some sort, might be a little element of commitment in it.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a decision.
So you believe in the deity of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, although some might have other things.
Yeah.
But you might believe that. But some of the flexible free grace people bring in repentance, and they will say it involves, let's say, a desire for a new way of life. It includes a willingness to turn from my sins, or at least a desire to turn from my sins.
Yeah, or some sort of desire or willingness to have change of life, willingness to make a moral reform. Yeah. But again, you don't have to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. You can believe some other truth about Jesus. This is why they separate assurance from saving faith, is that whatever they have faith in doesn't bring assurance with it. It doesn't need to, because you can believe that Jesus is God, Jesus died on the cross and rose again, without knowing that he gives you everlasting life for simply believing him for it.
Right, and some of these people from the flexible free grace position actually say you don't need to believe in him for an irrevocable salvation. I think that's Grace Notes 79, yeah. And there are other statements. So is that what we're recommending, that you just say believe in Jesus for everlasting life and don't even quote John 3:16 because that alludes to the cross, or don't even quote any verse that might mention the resurrection of Christ or the miracles of Christ or the sinless life of Christ. Is that what we're recommending?
I mean, obviously not, because who's going to believe that promise without more information about who Jesus is, you know? And so, obviously, Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection is the greatest sign that he can deliver on his promise of everlasting life to anyone who believes in him for it. And so I think that's been always a misnomer, that we're telling people to leave out other truths. But I think what we've been telling them is, no, we want you to focus on the saving truth. Tell those other truths about Jesus, but those other truths are to help people, to direct them to believe in him for everlasting life.
Yeah, Zane Hodges gave a couple of talks at our, I guess, our 2000 conference that we published in our journal called How to Lead People to Christ, Part 1 and Part 2. And in there, what he said is essentially the bullseye, what Diane Boring likes to call the bullseye, is that when we believe in Jesus for everlasting life, we have it. But he said, I consider it essential to preach the cross of Christ in order to get them to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. But the problem that Hodges was talking about is that some people would say, if you just believe Jesus died and rose again, then you're born again, even if you don't believe that you have an irrevocable salvation, an eternal salvation. And so I think it's vital that we recognize what it is we're trying to get people to believe. If all we're trying to get them to believe is that Jesus died and rose again, well, then we really don't need to talk to most people in Christianity, do we? Because most people in Christianity already believe Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah, I mean, that is not really a problem within Christianity. At that point, you just need to talk to people in other religions.
Right. Right.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. GESseminary.org.
I've always looked at it like, look, what's the greater problem today? Do we have a lot of people who are believing in Jesus for everlasting life and don't believe that he died on the cross and rose again? I mean, I haven't met anybody like that.
Right.
You know, and there may be some people who don't know, but once you tell them, like, well, you know that one, you believed in him for everlasting life? He also died on the cross and rose again. Oh, that's great news. I believe that now,
right,
too. It's easy to show them from Scripture about how that is taught. But let's look at the other side. How many people out there who believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, but aren't believing him for everlasting life? Millions and possibly billions of people fit that category.
Well, there's 2.3 billion professing Christians. And of those 2.3 billion, we don't know how many believe in eternal security. But the best estimates that I've seen are that number is somewhere in the range of 300 million to 500 million, so that the vast majority of people don't even believe in eternal security. Of those who believe in eternal security, a lot of those people believe in it as a theoretical possibility. Like, for example, Calvinists who say, well, if you're elect, you're eternally secure. But you don't know if you're elect, and so you've got to persevere. And so they really don't believe that they themselves are eternally secure, because they see faith as including commitment and surrender and obedience and turning from sins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they say the proof of that you really believe is that you persevere. And so I don't know. The number of people in Christianity who believe that by faith in Jesus that they're secure forever, maybe that's 100 million, 200 million. Of course, that doesn't tell us how many have ever believed it, because there's always people who believed it in the past but have stopped believing it. But the real question that these YouTubers are asking is, what do we need to preach, or what do we preach? Dix Winston gave a talk at our conference, and he talked about bluff, which is an army expression that means B-L-U-F-F, bottom line, up front, first. And so he gave the example of a colonel. When the captain came to him, he said, don't give me a lot of details that I'm not asking for. what I want you to do when you give me a report is give me the bottom line up front first. Tell me what it is that's the big idea from what I sent you to study. Then if I need details, I'll ask you for details. Well, it's interesting. That seems to be what Jesus did in John 3 and John 4. He gave the bottom line up front first. You must be born again. He didn't give all the details about his death and his resurrection at that point. Now, later on, he alluded to his resurrection when he talked about the uplifted serpent in the Old Testament, that those who looked lived, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. He alluded to the cross. Now, Nicodemus surely didn't get it at that point, but we reading it later know he's talking about the cross. You get the same thing in John 4. He doesn't go into his death and resurrection with the woman at the well. He doesn't go with all the details, but he does give her enough information to prove that he's the Messiah who guarantees the gift of God, John 4:10, which is everlasting life, John 4:14, to all who simply believe in him, that is, drink the living water, believing in him. So what I would suggest is we lead with the bottom line that whoever believes in him has everlasting life, and then we give whatever supporting details are needed. I think Jesus' approach in John 3 and 4 is a good one to follow, and that is we want a dialogue.
Right.
I mean, if you tell someone, if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life and you can never lose it, and you stop there, don't you think they're going to make some sort of a comment? And at that point, I can talk about the fact that, well, you know that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose from the dead, right? Why did he die on the cross? What's your idea of why he died on the cross? I think it's great to have a dialogue. But yeah, if I'm preaching a sermon, of course, I'm going to give all of the supporting details. But if I'm talking one-on-one with an individual, we've got an opportunity for back and forth.
Yeah. And I think the back and forth is ultimately what we don't want is you may preach a sermon or you tell them all these other great truths, but you leave out the most essential truth to be believed in. Believe in Jesus for everlasting life.
All right. Now you got, I know we're out of time, but just for my pet peeve, a Mormon's at your door. Two Mormons come to your door. Don't spend an hour talking to them trying to prove the deity of Christ and never get to the fact that if you believe in him, you have everlasting life. Well, thanks so much, all you YouTubers, for your comments. We love your positive and negative comments. We take them into account, and we like to respond to them because we want to keep grace
in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, we will talk about knowing God experientially and positionally. Hope you'll join us, but until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.